Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So, Linda McMahon's Senate campaign is actually affecting current storylines. Why is this, Aaron?
Yeah, this is... They were saying that the Jericho suspension was actually a cause of this because, you know, she'd be running for Senate and Senate has to deal with foreign affairs. And, you know, Brazil, of course, is a foreign country. The thing that really hurts this, though, is why I don't understand why she's running for Senate and why she isn't going somewhere smaller and then working her way up. I think that's something that might make a little more sense. And it actually might be smarter for the WWE to do because right now she's being attacked for things that are happening in the WWE. Or things that have happened in the past. And so I just, honestly, it kind of boggles my mind why this is even going on.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. They have not been releasing or firing wrestlers lately, except for the four that were down developmental, which everyone doesn't remember Eli Cottonwood, but he was one of those guys who got a job somewhere
Mustache.
Else. Huh?
Mustache.
Mustache.
So Christian Cage yes. did not want to make his appearance at TNA.
Yeah, he did not want to do this. He actually, I guess, when he said, "Hey, we want you to go over there," he was like, "No, I don't want to do it," because he feels, and this, well, I shouldn't say this is confirmed, but I think he feels that this would be a step down. He's the IC champion, which technically means that he's above the champion right now in TNA considerably. So the fact that he has to go down to the minor leagues, if you want to say that, to make an appearance, and it's kind of a lame appearance, actually. The speech was nothing. You can tell that he didn't want to be there still. Like, he was like, "Oh, this is cool. This is cool. All right, get me the heck out of here."
Yeah, his appearance was really lackluster, and I think a lot of people were just wondering what was going on. I mean, I know I was. I was really confused by his appearance. I can understand him not wanting to go back there. I mean, if you leave a job and then you have to go back there, you know, and you're going to see some old friends and stuff, but it's still that kind of awkward. It's like seeing an ex-girlfriend, you know? It's like, hey, you know, we had a mutual breakup and I hope you're okay, but I don't really want to see you. And, you know, it's kind of awkward for everyone involved, right?
Well, yeah, of course. Joseph. Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, I know exactly what you mean on that. You know, but good, you know, as a team player, you got to give Christian Cage some, you know, benefit, which I thought was weird because I thought they'd actually let him use Christian, but got to put up the C's, I guess. Anyways, so TikTok, what's that mean? Means Matt Morgan is coming back to the WWE. You know what it really means? It means that TNA's going to have to do something about all those insurance commercials.
Yeah. Well, his contract is set to expire sometime soon. We're not sure exactly when.
But the WWE knows since someone leaked those documents to them, so they have a roundabout idea.
And WWE is not interested in anybody that TNA has, by the way.
Currently. You gotta throw the currently. So technically, since the contract's about to up, they're not interested in him right now. But they are interested in Alex Shelley, who is, of course, gone.
And I think Matt Morgan will actually have a pretty decent life over in WWE. I think that you could put him on SmackDown, and he could make a run for the title. Him and Sheamus could probably have some pretty good matches. But Matt Morgan uses the bro kick, so you're going to have to kind of find a workaround with that. I don't know what they would do instead, but
just give him the diamond cutter. I mean, it's not like Orton's going to be around.
Exactly. So, and who knows? Who even knows with Orton? Because I've been reading conflicting reports online. Last week, we even talked about his suspension, And you said, no, he's getting back after the 1,000th episode. And I was like, no, he's getting back right before it. I've been reading so many conflicting reports online saying, oh, no, he got suspended this day. And they're like, no. Well, it wasn't confirmed until this day. So we actually aren't even sure. We may not know until it gets closer to the actual date.
From what I figured up, at least, he will miss it. He actually can't come back till the Wednesday afterwards. Is the 60th day, technically, is what I found, at least.
I've been seeing some other stuff that are saying that he was actually suspended prior to that.
But he still showed up on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Is what right. The weird part is. So technically it should be after SmackDown, you can count that that's when it starts. So Wednesday is day one. He won't be back then.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, I mean, this is a wait and see type thing, you know. I think it's one of those things that's really hard to be like, oh, no, dude, we'll make an exception for you.
Here's something also weird that's been going on. Apparently, the WWE doesn't feel that the independent scene is the right place to go to get wrestlers anymore. So Triple H wants to go out and get big bodybuilder types. I mean, do you think this is smart to do? Or do you think that they're just not looking in the right places for wrestlers?
The 1980s all over again.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, are you going to have, like, the gobbledygooker, I think is what his name was, the hockey player?
I don't like seeing bodybuilders as wrestlers. That's not what I enjoy seeing. For me, what I like seeing a mixture. You know, you have the person that gets your butts in the seat. You know, you have your John Cena, you have your Rock. Those are your main guys, right?
Yeah.
And then you have people like Alex Shelley, Austin Aries, Rey Mysterio, who excite you, get the crowd pumped, and you are so happy to see those matches because they're amazing. And you see somebody do a shooting star press off the top rope, you see somebody doing a swanton, you get excited. This is a big, big deal. And I think the problem is that Triple H is looking for only one type of person, and you can't do that. You cannot do that. WCW was super successful because you had the NWO. But guess what? You also had the cruiserweights. You also had the mid-card people. You had the upper mid-card people, lower mid-card people. You had people who had their own storylines, and you had these groups of people that worked so well together because they were so different. You can see Bully Ray take on Abyss, but guess what? You also get to see Austin Aries take on Chris Sabin, and they are both amazing matches and very, very different matches.
Exactly, and that's the problem that Triple H is not looking at. He's not looking at the fact, the reason why WCW was successful. They'd have a crappy promo by someone from the NWO. No one gave a crap. Then you have an exciting cruiserweight match. And then they did the same thing. They would continue that process until you hit, at that time, the 10 p.m. hour, Eastern Standard Time. Then they'd have all the heavyweights. And then the cruiserweights all went out and had fun. Mm-hmm. They weren't even in the building anymore because they're like, well, we're not going to be on anyways. And see, that was the successful part about it. Right now, they're failing. And the fact you're going to go after bodybuilders, that says something. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like what happened on Raw with the whole thing with Daniel Bryan, what Vince said to him. He's like, you don't even look like a wrestler.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry, but I think that's actually the best part about him. You never guess that about him.
Yeah. And we'll get into that in a second. Yeah. But real quick, we want to make note that Alberto Del Rio had a concussion last week.
And we thought it was a joke because, you know, the Great Khali did hit him, but usually he doesn't, it's not that big of a deal. But apparently this time it was a big deal because he got knocked out.
Well, and he got his head banged on some, the steel WWE sign. And they're saying that it might have happened then. You know, there's speculation of when it could happen. So, you know, and which means obviously he's got to have a replacement, which we're going to talk about in just a second. But Andy, I want to ask you, moving on to Raw, what is the deal with Tensai?
Well, apparently this was supposed to be a great match. Everyone was impressed with this match. I thought it was the worst match I've seen in a long time. And they were saying that officials were like, wow, did you see that match? It was really good. Did we see the same match? I saw a crappy match and I was bored.
Yeah, this was not a good match.
No.
And this is one of those big guy fights, okay? This is what happens when you get bodybuilders. And don't get me wrong, Sheamus is not as bad as a bodybuilder. A-Train isn't either, you know, but he's kind of borderline,
But the
you know?
Thing is, they're different, though. Like, Sheamus can wrestle like cruiserweights, but he has trouble with the bigger guys. And I think it's also because Sheamus was taught one way, and still you got to remember Tensai, or, you know, Albert, he's still adapting from Japan, and most wrestlers, and Sheamus never been over in Japan, so he's only known one way to wrestle. I think they just clashed. I think maybe if they had a couple house show matches, I think it would be different, but this was, I thought it was a horrible match.
Yeah, they should have done some house show matches. I don't think that they did. And you bring up a very interesting point, which is, you know, talking about Japan. And Jericho said something when him and Punk had their feud, and I love this part of their feud. Jericho said, "I didn't have to have a shirt that said I'm best in the world. I proved it. I honed my craft by going over to Japan, going to Mexico, and wrestling in all these little promotions around the country." And I love that, because he really made a point. Because, yeah, he wrestled in Mexico and in Japan, and he learned a craft. He learned how to make himself unique by incorporating all of these different areas and all these different promotions and finding out what worked. And then he made it work in ECW, in WCW, and then in WWE. So that was something I really appreciate, and I definitely agree with what you said there.
Yep. So something else that happened, which I thought was pretty cool, a four-way elimination for the World Heavyweight Championship.
For the number one contendership.
I'm sorry, for the number one contendership. My bad. I was pretty impressed with this match. I thought Christian was going to win, because I figured, okay, he just got stuck going to TNA the night before. They're going to bring him over. He's going to have a pay-per-view match.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen.
Well, but he was already wrestling Cody. That was the problem. Yeah. And so,
but Cody was in Turkey, though.
I kind of knew right away, you know, it was going to be Ziggler. Which I don't have a problem with. I like Ziggler.
He deserved it. I mean, don't get me wrong. He really deserved it. I'm happy he won. I would like to see him actually win, which would be kind of cool.
I would actually really like to see
But him. You said something, you know, episodes ago, and you said that now Ziggler is considered a world heavyweight or a champion at one point. You know, you have Swagger, you have Ziggler, you had Christian and Kali.
Yeah.
Ziggler only had the championship for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But he's considered a champion.
Former champion.
That's ridiculous.
And when that happened, I complained. I said that was so stupid to give him the title for 5 minutes, because he's in the record books now as being a world heavyweight champion. And that is so stupid. It really makes me mad.
Did you check the PWI championship things and see if he was on there? Because I didn't. Now you say it, I didn't even look.
I'm sure he is. Oh, sure,
jeez. That stinks. So, anyways, yeah, one thing that I thought was pretty cool, Vince McMahon, of course, came back. And I said earlier, he said something to Daniel Bryan, basically pointing out that he didn't look like a wrestler, which I find comical, because if you see him out in the wild, to me, he still looks like a wrestler. Like, you could tell that he's working out or he does something, because he's, you know, just the way he, you know, presents himself. And there's like an aura about him. He still looks like a wrestler to me. But I thought Vince made a big deal, where if you put him and like someone like Sheamus next to each other, of course people are gonna think Sheamus is a wrestler, but they're not.
Yeah, they'll think that. I mean, because he has a very unique look. I think Daniel Bryan has a fairly unique look too.
Yeah.
And honestly, with Vince and with Triple H, if anything else, they should be very excited that they have people on their roster like Punk, like Daniel Bryan, because first of all, Punk doesn't drink or do drugs. You don't have to worry about anything from him.
And
he doesn't put anything in, you know, bad in his body. And Daniel Bryan doesn't look like the type of person that does drugs. No. Probably doesn't drink, maybe socially every now and then.
He said rarely at one point. He said like once in a great while he'll have a beer or two.
Yeah.
That's it. But he said because of his condition, it's also from the Wrestling Road Diaries, they talk about it in there. He had some weird condition where he could barely go to school and stuff like that. But yeah, I thought that was really weird that they had that segment. I thought the funny thing, having the girls from Brodus Clay's thing come over, I thought that was pretty funny.
And then the woo woo woo.
Yeah, where he just was like, huh? But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
So Andy, Big Van Vader returns.
I knew this was coming. The only reason I knew this was coming is because Heath Slater kept on saying it's stuff about time. I'm like, oh my gosh, are they bringing Vader back? Because last time I saw, they showed a picture of him. He looked horrible. Like, even worse shape than what I was in. Like, it was bad. And then he comes out and he's like still in bad shape, but for 50.
Well, if you watch that match, even getting up the ring steps, he puts his hand down to go up.
And, yeah, he's like, I need some help.
Which he's pushing 60. I mean, he's old, you know?
Yeah, and he's like,
I will say this much, though. It was really cool to see him back, and the fans remembered him. I mean, I saw people throwing up the V's, you know, like the basically live long and prosper, but, you know, for Vader. And I thought that was kind of cool to see that. I like Vader. I think that he was a really great talent. He was somebody special, you know, and I mean, he was one of the heaviest hitters, you know, in wrestling in general. So I thought it was really cool to see him back.
Yeah. And to me, he doesn't remind me of WWE. I just remember WCW Vader. I don't remember the WWE version. So anywho, let's go on to after that beating. Big Show shows up and he kind of just beats the crap out of Kofi, at least Kofi in the ring, and then takes his time going down the steps because, of course, he wins.
Well, he shows how unstoppable he is because he beat Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, he beat Kofi Kingston.
The man, Kofi. Yep.
Woo!
By the way.
Yes.
So he beat him.
And then,
At the end of Raw,
he punched Vince. And
he didn't mean to.
He didn't mean to punch Vince, but he still punched Vince. So Vince is now selling this hard punch that he took, of course, and he may not be at the pay-per-view now, which is kind of weird.
Well, he was saying that Laurinaitis' job is on the line and Big Show has to win. Otherwise, you know, Johnny Ace is fired. You know, it's kind of interesting. Vince was the most over person there, which is kind of sad. But what do you think, though, about Vince's tenure on Raw? I mean, or not, you know, for the past decade or anything like that, but what do you think of his time there?
He's one of those guys that it's nice to see him, but it's kind of like, dude, we're kind of sick and tired of seeing you. Can you just leave? But it's also one of those things like I didn't care about Vader, but he came back. I was like, oh, that's neat. He came back. But he just came back, did his one off, and then left. Vince is going to be around for a while. Now he's going to be around to promote definitely the 1,000th Raw. That's the reason why he showed up. He's just going to be around. They're going to talk about how he's there. The ratings did go up a little bit, which I was surprised. But he's just basically there as a performer. I mean, that's about it. It's kind of like
former WWE champion Vince McMahon.
Former champion. Yes. But yeah, one thing also that was kind of weird about this is that on the corporate site, Johnny Ace is no longer the talent talent relations guy anymore. He's become an on-air guy and a booker, which I find weird. And Triple H is now, you know, the vice president of talent relations, which is kind of funny in a way.
Yeah, that is. But that's topic for another time. Yeah. So on SmackDown, Andy.
One more thing before we get to SmackDown, though. Why does Curt Hawkins look like crap? That's all I'm wondering. He looked like crap, dude. So more crap. Let's move on to SmackDown. Brodus Clay is in another squash match. He comes out, does his thing. When is he going to be in a real feud, dude?
Yeah, they're going to totally look over that Big Show thing, apparently, unless they bring it back up in a few weeks.
That's true.
So, yeah. And then Damian Sandow defeated Tyson Kidd, which ends their two-week feud.
Oh, really?
They had a feud that started last week, and it ended this week.
So, usually, Tyson Kidd would then get released because of that. So,
wait.
then the close SmackDown, talk about a horrible show before your pay-per-view. Ryback comes out and just gets another squash match. At what point do you actually have him wrestle someone?
Well, on top of it, like, none of these matches that they showed, I was like, oh, this person might win. This person might win. No, none of them. You know what? Have Brodus Clay take on Ryback. And then I'll be like, maybe I think Ryback will win. But you never know.
That is true. Just a bad show altogether. So if you want to complain about how bad SmackDown was, you should go get a blog over at HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or are you just not happy with a web host? Check out HostGator.com. You're going to find a web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, with one-click script installs, and a free site builder with the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite every web hosting cost. Also, you got to check out Section 86 Off the Mark page. You know why? Because there's a banner up there that says, click on this banner and then use WWE Save 10. And if you spend more than $70, you'll get $10 off that order. So make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page. We need to talk now about Slammiversary 10. So Austin Aries comes out and has a great match with Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. And he also retains.
Yeah. And that match was easily match of the night. I am really upset that that was the first match. Really upset. The TV title or the tag team TV title match, that should have been first.
Yeah.
This match was way too good. This should have been third to last match is what this should have been. It should have been this match, should have been the triple threat or, you know, I guess the tag team mm-hmm. and then Robert Roode. That's what it should have been because this match was amazing. It was so good. And Austin Aries and Samoa Joe, honestly, you need to keep these guys in a feud. You really do because it was so, so good. Have them in another pay-per-view and then call it quits.
Yeah, it was such a good match, though, dude. I will say that was – had to have been match of the night. I mean, hands down, it had to have been match of the night. It was so good. I actually missed it, which I was kind of disappointed live. So when I watched the replay, I was like, wow. Like, this is how the pay-per-view should have ended. In all seriousness. Right? It was that good of a match. It was definitely worth the 45. Definitely. I got to say, that was definitely worth it.
Well, and Austin Aries said that the world title is next.
Yeah, that was a big
thing.
Which
we'll talk about in just a little bit.
Yep. So Crimson comes out and says he wants to take anyone on. And you heard it last week on Off the Mark from Off the Mark's own AP. He said that James Storm is going to come out and beat him. And it's great because now he is, well, stopped the streak, which is awesome. So now he can go on and say he stopped the streak over and over again.
Yeah.
So this will start maybe a little mini feud, or will it?
Yeah, it'll probably start a little mini feud that'll, carry over into the, into the Bound for Glory series that they're going to hold this summer. And it's something that may carry even further than that. So, and we'll see. I think that this was interesting. I actually don't think that they should have had him lose yet. I think what you do is you save that for Impact. Like, have Crimson get a cheap win, and then have Storm come out on Impact and be like, no, we're not done. We have another match. And then have him beat him then. I think that might have been better, because this was actually a little anticlimactic. Unlike the Goldberg-Kevin Nash thing, this just didn't work, in my opinion.
And plus, you could just tell Goldberg was going to drop that title. You could just tell. He started waving to the crowd. He never did that. So, Anderson actually wins, and he becomes the new number one contender for the TNA Championship.
Yeah, and if you remember correctly, I called this one too.
Yeah, and it was also another good match. Like, surprisingly, I thought all the matches were good. I didn't think there was a bad match. There were some I could have fast-forwarded.
Well, other than,
anything with Bischoff in it, I mean, you could fast-forward.
Yeah, so that I was kind of happy that he became the number one contender. We'll talk about him in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is that AJ Styles and Kurt Angle won the tag titles.
Yeah.
That I did not see coming. And I'm very surprised that they did this. I'm interested to see the storyline they put forth.
Well, yeah, I mean, but also some stuff that happened on Impact kind of foreshadowed that they're going to end up feuding, which I'm kind of excited about. I mean, it's just foreshadowing.
Yeah, and then the other big news, Sting was put into the first inductee to the TNA Hall of Fame, and then he took on Robert Roode, and Robert Roode retained after hitting Sting with a beer bottle.
Yep, that's it.
That was kind of a bad way to retain.
Yeah, I was like, wow, he just gets inducted into, a crappy Hall of Fame, which, who knows? Well,
If they do one person a year, I'm cool with that.
Okay. Now, yes. Now, that would be better, because then you could have, AJ Styles.
Styles the following year. You could do Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. One person a year. Jeff Jarrett, of course. One a year, I'm good with.
Yeah. If they did one a year, then that's actually not that bad. Because then when the WWE has to induct them, it won't be that big of a deal.
So let's move on to Impact, Andy. Austin Aries again retains the title and an amazing match.
Ultimate X, and it actually opened up the show, which I thought was a good move. Pay-per-view quality here, but I was surprised it was only a three-way. I thought they were going to do a four-way on this, but it was a three-way. But something happened actually towards the end of it, and I think Chris Sabin actually got legitimately hurt because he was grabbing his knee as soon as he got outside. And then when the dive came up, he was still hobbling. And you could tell when someone's selling something, and that looked like he was in pain, because after the dive from Aries, the match went on probably for another 3 or 4 minutes, at least 3 minutes. And he was on the ground. The ref was out there with him. That doesn't sound like he's selling anything, because then all of a sudden Zima go through their quick thing. Seemed like it wasn't a quick ending, but it seemed like some of the stuff maybe wasn't planned. If that makes sense. Like if you rewatch it, you'll see what I mean. But yeah, I think Saban really got hurt on it. So hopefully he's okay.
And then the other thing that happened was Hogan came out and he put over Austin Aries. I mean, he really put him over.
Yeah. What happened? Aries, after he won, he went out and did a little quick interview and said, you know, he wants the chance to actually, you know, get a chance at the world title. But Hogan said, what did Hogan say that he had to do though?
So Hogan said, tell you what, you get your shot at Destination X, but here's the way that it works. You can't hold both titles. So if you choose to take that shot, you have to give up the X title, which means that if you do not capture the world championship at Destination X, you have neither title. But if you do capture it, then you at least have the one. And he has to give his decision next week. Now, I don't know if he said specifically when he drops the title, if he drops it at Destination X or if he has to drop it now. I'm not sure which. But I think that's interesting. And the thing that's really cool, because that's not the next pay-per-view, if I'm correct, is it? I think that's like two down the line or something.
Oh, you know what? I'm not sure.
Yeah, so Destination X, I apologize. Destination X is the next pay-per-view. Since Slammiversary is the June, Destination X is July. So they're setting up the main event for Destination X next week, which I think is smart, and I think that's cool, and I think that this pay-per-view then will be freaking amazing.
Well, it also depends if he actually says that, hey, if this is how I'm going to have to do it, I'm going to do it. But then you have to remember, what are you going to do with James Storm?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there going to be a three-way then for those guys?
No, what will happen is it's going to be Robert Roode to take on Austin Aries.
Mm-hmm.
James Storm, though, will not get into the picture until Bound for Glory, which is in October. So I think that Robert Roode is going to hold this title until then. Which, I mean, he'll hold the title for almost a year.
Jeez, that's a long time. I mean, even WWE doesn't do that. Well, CM Punk's at it for a while, though.
Yeah, he has.
Jeez. Yeah, he got it back in December. So he's had it for six. Wow, that's a long time for a champion. So, yeah. So anyways, the TV title gets defended, which I'm still in shock about, because they've only
missed once now, Andy. Once. Only once.
So you gotta give them credit.
Pay-per-view, but I'm gonna be okay with that. But they did miss one TV show.
That is true.
Moving on, Andy. Robert Roode took on Mr. Anderson, and he retained.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a good match. I was actually kind of bored with it. But also, I didn't have any audio this week for Impact, so I had to read lips a lot, and I'm not very good at it. But yeah, for some reason, I couldn't listen to any of the audio, so I don't know if anything interesting was said by Taz or Tanae. I'm not sure. Maybe that would make the match better.
Anyway, the one thing I don't like about this is that Robert Roode has defended his title twice in 6 days, and then he also was defending it like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago on Impact. Basically, they're having him defend the title like constantly, and that's not what you should do. You shouldn't have him defend the title that frequently. I think that the Mr. Anderson one, I think he should have wrestled him next week. I think that would have been a better build-up, and then this week, you know, you have this, oh, yeah, well, guess what? I get you next week. And then you have, like, Roode try to injure Anderson or something like that. Get some cheap heat. So
Put him in a tag match.
Put him in a tag match or something. You know, so I'm a little disappointed in that. But the thing that was very interesting that ended the show was that three masked men came out and attacked Sting when he was given his, like, Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah, and Okay, the show was really good this week. Besides No Velvet Sky. I was kind of ticked about that, but whatever. Still a good show. And then they ended on a stupid note. And you and we were talking about these three guys came out of nowhere. I thought it was actually a fan. In all seriousness, I thought a fan came up and they're going to be. But then I realized Sting was like, "Oh, don't hurt me! Oh, don't hurt me!" And I was like, "Oh, because if it was a real fan, he would have knocked him out." But three guys come out and I couldn't figure out who the three guys were. I'm like, "Well, there's some idiot with a chain wallet." And they're like, "Oh, it's probably." And you said, "It's probably who?"
It's probably Bischoff.
So it's Garrett Bischoff. It's going to be Crimson, and it's going to be who's the other one?
Gunner, probably.
Magnus. It'll probably be Magnus, I bet. It'll probably be those three guys are the people that attack Sting.
I don't know. TNA's been doing a much better job recently of not turning people face heel. So I don't know if they're going to have like Gunner, or not Gunner, but I don't think that they would have Magnus come out because he is now a face. I think, though, it'll be Crimson, probably Bischoff and probably Gunner would be the two, and maybe Jeff Jarrett too. And I got to disagree with you. I think that this was a pretty decent way for them to end Impact. And the main reason why is because right now we're talking about it. And this is actually kind of interesting. The
reason why I want to talk about it is because that was stupid. But I I don't think it was Jeff Jarrett, because Jeff Jarrett's build is different than the two of the guys were really tall. Then one wasn't as tall, but I think the one that who wasn't as tall is Garrett Bischoff. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that one of them was Jeff, because Jeff has a weird frame, and I'd probably have to rewatch it, but I don't think it was him, though.
Well, and we'll see. I actually like this, because the other thing, too, is now I'm interested to see who it was. I'm interested to see who it was that attacked him.
I guess we'll see. Then Devon will come out and be like, "Garrett, why did you do that? We just had a great match on the pay-per-view." So we need to talk about our weekly topic. We're talking about tournaments in pro wrestling. Of course, a lot of people have heard about the Super J Cup, the Super 8 tournament that ECWA puts on. I mean, there's, of course, King of the Ring. Chikara puts on theirs as well. They have a couple.
There's tons. The World Tag League, the New Japan Cup, G1 Climax. All Japan Pro Wrestling has some that they've done for years, the Champions Carnival Junior League and World's Strongest Tag Team. And WWE had one that they did for a number of years, which was King of the Ring, and I really wish that they would bring back. Mm-hmm. I think what I wanted to talk about with this weekly topic is why they should do tournaments, and in particular why TNA should with Bound for Glory, and why WWE should with the King of the Ring. And here's my thought on it. King of the Ring you have in May, let's say, or even June. And then you have the winner of that take on the WWE champion at SummerSlam. And then that way you make SummerSlam your number two pay-per-view. Because you have this big build-up. It's like you have, let's see, CM Punk is the champion. Now let's say Daniel Bryan wins it, and he's like, "Look, I'm taking you on in 2 months." And then you have this big buildup between the two. They finally get in the ring together and they take each other on. And I think that that's really smart to do. And then every year you get to say, "Well, he's a former Royal Rumble winner. He's mm-hmm. a former King of the Ring." And you get to, dress people up like that.
Like King Booker.
Exactly.
But yeah, one tournament, I will say, we were discussing this previous to the show. And then I realized there's one that I saw. And I've seen a couple of times that I thought was dumb, just completely dumb. If you've heard of Combat Zone Wrestling, CZW, they have one called King of the Death Match. And talk about something that you don't want to see. That's mm-hmm. the one you don't want to see. And I have mm-hmm. seen it a couple times, because not only do you have nothing but botches everywhere, but you have botches into things that probably shouldn't be in the ring.
Yeah.
So we'll just leave it at that. Use your imagination to go from there.
I wouldn't mind seeing, even variations on it, like King of the Hardcore Mountain or something like that. Having like a hard, of course they don't have a hardcore title anymore, but I think that's something that would be so cool to do, is have more tournaments.
Yeah, and like the one that I like the most is the one that ECWA puts on, the Super 8. They put that on every year. I mean, like, going over some of the champions is actually. It's really interesting when you start talking about it, because you have people like Christopher Daniels won in 2000, the low-key won it the year after. You had Paul London in 2003 win it. Daniels won it in 2004. Petey Williams and Davey Richards, Jerry Lynn. I mean, there's tons of people, you know, like people who I think have made it that won this tournament. And, you know, I'm glad that it's put on every year. I'm looking forward, of course, to when that happens. They usually put it in, usually in August or October is usually when it's done, but they been switching it to like a summer type deal, and they've been having it around the April time, actually. Great tournament. I mean, there's a lot of them. Japan puts on a bunch of them, too.
Japan puts on a lot, and I love theirs. The for example, over at AJPW, they hold the Champions Carnival, which has been going on since 1973. So we're talking 40 years they've been doing this now. And, I mean, it's a who's who of winners. In fact, Giant Baba was actually the winner for most of them in the 70s. But Abdullah the Butcher won a couple of them too. Stan Hansen, which a lot of people who watched WWE in the late 70s, early 80s, he won a couple of them. And Vader won back in 99. And it's really a who's who of people over in Japan win that tournament. And then they also have their tag team tournament, which has been going on since 77. And to give you an idea of one of the people who won it, actually, Ted DiBiase in 85 won it with Stan Hansen. Yeah. And Dory Funk Jr. and Terry Funk, because they were a huge tag team over there. And then a bunch of other miscellaneous Japanese tag teams, which some people might know. There's Misawa and Kenta Kobashi. They were one that won them. And then just a number of other people. So it's one of, that's one of the things I love about Japan is I love the fact that they keep that stuff going. And over in WWE, obviously they don't have real tag teams, so they can't do that. I would love to see King of the Ring come back. And I think what TNA is doing with their Bound for Glory series, I actually think is a really smart idea. It's a round robin tournament. You face everybody once. And I think it might be a very smart thing for them to do.
Yeah, and it's almost like you wish the WWE would incorporate that or just bring back King of the Ring or have something where, I don't know, like you're considered a certain champ. Like if you win, like every 6 months, you could have some title that comes out and you're that champion for 6 months. And then you have to give it up and you have to win it back in a tournament. I mean, I know they did this a while ago. Like it was almost similar to the Survivor Series, how you'd have like, you can have like basically three guys take on six guys when it's at the very end. Do something like that. Or even Survivor Series, turn that into like a King of the Ring where like you have like, you know, you have teams or whatever, like you, and then if you survive, you get to go on later in the, you know, the night, you know, you could wrestle up to four times. I mean, they'd be great for guys like Rey Mysterio, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. Those guys would shine in those. Bring back Paul London and Spanky for a night, you know?
And I actually agree. I think that Survivor Series would be a good time to do something like that. It would make people care about it a little bit more. You could have, you know, we've talked about how to make Survivor Series interesting where whoever wins, however many people are left over, that person, you know, they would wrestle each other and that the winner would get a shot at something. You know, that's something that we've always thought would be interesting. And I agree with you. If you had maybe a King of the Ring at Survivor Series mm-hmm. or have some sort of tournament there that made Survivor Series like something to look forward to, because right now it's a name that they've had around for 20 plus years. But realistically, what's special about it?
Exactly. And that's the sad part. They just need to bring back the true Survivor Series or name it King of the Ring and have King of the Ring that night.
Yeah,
that's how it boils down to.
So. I agree with you. I agree. I like tournaments in pro wrestling. I think it makes things interesting. It allows some of the people who might be on the cusp of becoming the, you know, a major star, it allows them to shine. And mm-hmm. over at TNA, that was something that I think that helped get Rude and Storm over last yep. year.
Yes.
And Bully Ray even, too. Mm-hmm. And this year, they've announced who is in the tournament. And there's a few names that I'm a little surprised at. Obviously, have your big ones, but Magnus is in there, which means that they're saying that Magnus is a big guy or is a big deal. The Pope is back in there again.
Yep.
And then the other one that's in there, which I really don't like and I really wish he would have been replaced, but Robbie E is in the tournament. Robbie E.
You know what? Okay. He should go down to the Jersey Shore since they're taping now and just show up and be like, hey, what's up, guys?
Robbie E. And not Devon. Yeah. All right, D-Von would have made a little more sense. But yeah. Robbie E, okay? Austin Aries should be in there instead, okay? Austin Aries, not Robbie E.
Yes. So maybe Robbie E gets injured. And Austin Aries gets to take his place.
But I love tournaments. I absolutely love them. And I am looking forward to the Bound for Glory series.
Yep, it's going to be great. Definitely going to be great. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you were into the Twitter, you follow the show at AuthMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.